From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We're happy that you've joined us for this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. In just a few minutes, we'll hear from Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On our previous broadcast, Dr. Cairns commenced a series of messages dealing with life in the Spirit, showing from the Scriptures what a Holy Spirit-filled life should look like. The text for the series is Galatians chapter 5, one of the clearest New Testament passages concerning a Spirit-filled life. This first message is entitled Spiritual Fighting and Fruit-Bearing and is centered on verses 16 and 17, where the Apostle Paul wrote, This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. In introducing this message, Dr. Cairns first took time to define what is meant by lust in this passage. Essentially, lust describes the evil power in our flesh that constantly seeks to assert itself against God's control, always striving to propose things that please the flesh and against God. Today we'll see that the Holy Spirit evidences His presence in the believer by opposing the desires of the flesh and asserting His dominion. Dr. Cairns will bring the next portion of this message in just a few minutes. First, we present a devotional thought from Faith's Checkbook, a collection from the pen of Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Today's devotional is entitled, Harvest of Light, Gladness. The text is Psalm 97 and verse 11. Light is sown for the righteous, and gladness for the upright in heart. Righteousness is often costly to the man who keeps to it at all hazards, but in the end it will bear its own expenses and return an infinite profit. A holy life is like sowing seed. Much is going out, and apparently it is buried in the soil, never to be gathered up again. We are mistaken when we look for an immediate harvest. But the error is very natural, for it seems impossible to bury light. Yet light is sown, says the text. It lies latent. None can see it. It is sown. We are quite sure that it must one day manifest itself. Full sure are we that the Lord has set a harvest for the sowers of light, and they shall reap it, each man for himself. Then shall come their gladness, sheaves of joy for seeds of light. Their heart was upright before the Lord, though men gave them no credit for it, but even censured them. They were righteous, though those about them denounced them as censorious. They had to wait, as husbandmen wait for the precious fruits of the earth. But the light was sown for them, and gladness was being prepared on their behalf by the Lord of the harvest. Courage, brothers! We need not be in a hurry. Let us in patience possess our souls, for soon shall our souls possess light and gladness.
Break forth, break forth, break joyful horn.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We continue to receive encouraging response to these broadcasts, and we want you to know that we're very grateful to those of you who take the time to contact us. Among the various publications which we offer on these programs, the most popular is the quarterly LTBS magazine. The principal focus of the next issue is Roman Catholicism. The articles include The Papacy, The Church of Rome and Scripture, and The Church of Rome and Salvation. Also in this issue, Dr. Charles Barrett writes about Theodorus Frelinghuysen in an article called Bad Geography and the Beginning of an Awakening. In a feature article, the Reverend Timothy Nelson, editor of LTBS magazine, shares Mary's story from Rome to Christ. You may have a free copy of the magazine simply by asking for it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you might like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word radio, ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we call your attention to a series of video features on that website. In these video clips, Dr. Alan Cairns answers questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues, such as, what is the gospel? What is the best way to study the Bible? And can you be sure you're saved? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
Thank you. constantly seeks to assert itself in God's people. That's the first great truth of this passage. The fear is an active evil power that constantly seeks to assert itself in God's people. Verse 17, the flesh lusteth. The word lust here is a word that describes strong desire. That strong desire may be evil, as in this case, or in the next case, the spirit against the flesh, and a strong desire, that is not evil. The word in itself does not promote either good or evil. It is simply emphasizing the great strength of passion and desire of which it's speaking. Now, the flesh lusteth against the spirit. The flesh lusteth against the Holy Spirit of God. This is the old man. This is the old Adam. That is always discernible by this one thing. That it has a desire, it has a lust to have self control and to remove the control of the Holy Spirit from the life of the Christian. The flesh not only opposes the spirit, but it opposes all things spiritual. The flesh is forever proposing what is carnal, what is pleasing to self. The flesh always dumbs our vision of what is eternal and seeks to focus our attention on what is merely temporal. We have to be aware of this, that within every one of us, within the most experienced and godly Christian, there is an unformed and unformable old man, not evil, wicked, foolish, that is constantly seeking to assert itself and gain control. We need to be aware of that. Note very carefully the reading of the 17th verse, especially the final clause. The flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. There's a lot of scholarly discussion over the translation of that last line of the text. So that ye cannot. The idea is literally ye may not, or ye should not do the things that you would. Now see what he said. But the flesh is not only against the spirit, but the spirit is also against the flesh. What conclusion do you come to? Paul says, here's the conclusion you come to. As a Christian, you can't, or you may not, do something simply because you want to do it. It is not enough for a Christian to say, I want to do this, therefore I may do it. Paul says, that's not good enough. It's not sufficient ground for a Christian's action. The question a Christian has to ask is this thing I want to do the desire of my ungodly flesh, or is it the desire of the spirit? Does this desire come from the flesh, or does it come from the spirit? That's the question. It's not enough simply to say, I want to do it. I have to tell you, quite bluntly, I wish this were otherwise. I think that the minister in Greenville could bear testimony to the same thing. I've had to deal with people have had ripples of pain in the flesh and said that they were visit professor Christians, that they were going into what I could show them from Scripture was open sin. Maybe adultery. Maybe divorce. They've had no blessings in the Word of God whatsoever, no ground at all from Scripture. And they were going into open sin. I said, God, I want to do it. I have a people, women talk about what they are going to do with their lives and entering into some room and saying, well, I love this man. What? That is not the question. The question is, does this desire come from the flesh or does this desire come from the spirit? That's the question. You must never, never, never forget that there is that within us which is both evil and active and very, very self-assertive. The second thing I'll say is this, that the Holy Ghost evidences His presence in the believer by opposing the dominion of the flesh and subduing its operations. I said that there is this old man in the Christian, but this is what it means to be a Christian. That old man, that sin, that flesh is no longer on the throne. It no longer reigns. It used to reign. And impeded. It was the soul, man of the heart. But it no longer reigns in the believer. It is no longer the sole possessor of the heart. It is now opposed by the ruling Spirit of God. It is opposed as an intruder and as a usurper. Not only does the flesh rush against the Spirit, but the Spirit against the flesh. Some translators and commentators don't like supplying the Spirit lusteth against the flesh. They prefer the Spirit wars against the flesh. It comes down to the same thing. We are seeing that the Spirit is indwelling a Christian, and the Spirit indwelling a Christian is a constant, powerful, warfare against the flesh. He is opposing it. Now, this is a very vital evidence of the presence of the Holy Ghost in a person's life. The Holy Spirit in a man's life is active in many ways. But one way that is very clear is that He causes in that man such a revulsion against sin, a revulsion against fleshly ungodliness, that even when the Christian succumbs to the flesh, as Paul says in Romans 7, he does not approve of it. His heart condemns his action. Even when he succumbs, there is that within him that raises up to quell the flesh and to subdue it. Because if the Holy Ghost abides within a man's heart, he must say like Paul that he delights in the law of God after the inward man. That's always true of a Christian. Always. Though he fails, he is no longer living in habitual bondage to the gross passions of the flesh. We have rather those works of the flesh. And then what Paul says in verse 21, the latter part of the verse, I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that there was doing, that is, I think the first of the verb is there that habitually living in such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. No, God's people, by contrast, verse 18, are led by the Spirit of God. And let me make a very wide-ranging statement here. The Spirit of God never leads a man to the indulgence of the flesh. It is not the leading of the Holy Ghost that leads a man unto the indulgence of sin. That is not the leading of the Spirit. I get sick of people protesting that the Lord's leading them to do this and the Lord's leading them to do that, and all they're doing is taking the holy name of God in vain, because God does not lead man to sin. God does not lead man contrary to his word. He does not lead them into disobedience to Scripture. We used to run against this, especially back in Ulster where we were fighting the ecumenical movement, which was very, very big. It's bigger in Greenville than we imagine, but we have so many independent churches that are not in the ecumenical movement, thank God for that, it's not the same battle as we had there. But very all our major churches were in the World Council of Churches. They've got to understand what I mean by that. Sometime, maybe in Reformation Month, I'll do an upgraded message on the World Council of Churches. The World Council of Churches is an organization of apostasy. Deliberate, vicious, downright, wholehearted apostasy. It is a place where Christ is not present, and I make that statement without fear of contradiction. It is a place, an organization that was set in motion to reverse the Reformation. It was an organization, or remains an organization, that embraces every sort of Christ blaspheming apostasy that you can imagine. To this, we assembled, we all have said prayers for the dead, we all have sent up their prayers to the Virgin Mary, and out in Western Canada, who were out there protesting them in the 1980s, where they even gathered around a fire with Native Indians and worshipped the spirits of their ancestors. That's the World Catholic Church. And what does God say about that? I think that you could take the words of John in the Revelation. Come out of Almighty. I think you can see the description of courage for every unclean bird. And God has no truck with it. And Christians should have no truck with it. Yet the Christians say, no, we stay in to let our light shine. We stay in to let our light shine. Let me tell you, the place to let your light shine is outside. The place to let your light shine is where Jesus is, not where he is not. The place to let your light shine is in the ground of obedience, separation unto God.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we let the Bible speak.